Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen. Yes, give him. Oh, I tell you what, these guys do an awesome job, don't they? They just do an awesome job. Our media team does. They do a fantastic job.
Yes.
And I want to say that Randy is a sound man. Both ways, brother, both ways. That's so good. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. As you know, the governor extended us for about another 3 weeks with masks, and we're just going to follow right along, and we're going to express our praises to God, and we're going to honor authority. Yep. And we're going to continue to shine the light.
Yes.
Shine forth. If you had to go on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Yep, he's a Christian. And all this evidence comes up. So if we don't have a lot of evidence, they might not think we're Christians. I want you to go to John chapter 17. I'm going to talk to you today about something that we really don't use the word enough. But at the same time, we really need to capture the meaning of it. And that word is called world view. World view. And we're going to be talking about some world views that are out there that we need to be aware of. But I want to start in John chapter 17, verse 22 and 23. It says this. Jesus is talking to his Father. He's praying and talking to his Father. And he says this, the glory which thou hast given me, that's good, the glory that thou hast given me, I have given to them. Right. Father, the glory that you have given to me, I have given to them. Who is them? Oh, raise your hand if you're one of them. Usins, somebody said usins. Yeah, usins. So this passage here says that the same glory, and the glory, when you study it out, it's actually the very character of God. The very character of God was given to Jesus. Jesus, listen, Jesus coming to earth was given the character of God because he laid down everything that was his and became in the form of man. He didn't stop becoming God, but he laid all the privileges down. Means a lot. He became like us, except he didn't have any sin. Same glory, same character that you've given to me, I've given to them. That they may be, say the word, one. Say it loud.
One.
That they may be one. Just as we are one, they are one. And the reason for that, I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity or oneness. I've given them the same character, the same glory that you have given me. I am in you. We're one. And they are one with us. They are one. And the perfection of it is oneness. See, every time we talk about perfection and it's growing up, the maturing of it, all the maturity that we go through it for a purpose of oneness. It's not just individual growth. Perfecting us, maturing, is an individual thing. But it is for the goal of the perfecting is oneness. Being one. Amen? As Jesus and the Father were one. And then he goes on and he says, we ask our question, why does he want all that? And then he finishes up by saying this, that the world may know. Here you go now. How do you, that the world may know the oneness, the character, being together, being one with Him, being one with the Father, being one with one another, that the world may know that Thou didst send me. That the world will understand, Jesus is saying that I was sent by the Father. Your oneness and my oneness will awaken the world that a Savior was sent. Think about that. So what must we be perfected by? We be perfected by all the issues of life that He sends our way to trust in Him no matter what comes. Amen. And that we are one. We are many, but we are one. We are one body. We are the body of Christ on this earth. Not just here, but all over the earth. We are one. And Jesus emphasizes this and said, you're going to be perfected in this oneness. The reason you're going to be perfected in this oneness, the goal is for this world to know that I have been sent to them and that Thou didst love them even as Thou hast loved me. In other words, they're going to know what in this thing. They're going to know that Jesus was sent to them. Right? Jesus is sent to them by our oneness. Not by our bickering. Not by our gossip. Not by our strife. Not by our disharmony. That's not going to convince the world that Jesus came. Our becoming one with each other, one with Him and one with each other, being perfected in that oneness is going to awaken the world. Wait a minute. Wait just a minute. I see something different happening in the people that are called church. They're not fussing with each other. They're not working against each other. They're not talking about each other except for edification. Not tearing down. I see a difference. Well, I'm awakened to the fact, and not only that, but I'm awakened to the fact that Jesus loves those people. That's what it says. Yeah. Jesus loves those people. Yeah. I'm making sure I don't get in the flesh here, so I'm not. We can't be the Eeyores of life. Okay. Oh, nothing ever good happens to me. We can't be the Eeyores of life and draw people to the knowledge that Jesus loves us. When you know that Jesus loves you and you're demonstrating the oneness that He says we are to demonstrate, it awakens people to the knowledge that Jesus is alive. Jesus has impacted people's living. Not just what they're saying, but what they're doing. So Jesus is having this conversation with the Father. And He's in a prayer and He's talking to Him. And He says, so God, the same glory, the same character. So you and I need to understand the same character that God gave Jesus is the same character that Jesus gave us. Well, I don't know how to walk holy. I don't have holiness. Oh, yes, you do. You're just not connected to it. I don't have a lot of mercy for people. Well, yes, you do. You're just not connected. It's already given. We're just not living it. Why? Because it's not being perfected. Why is that? Because we have other world views than the one that He gave us. What about these other worldviews? What is a worldview? A worldview is a set of beliefs by which you will see how the world is operating, and you will be able to explain with a worldview how you see things and how you will interpret things. That's called a worldview. Well, I don't need a worldview. Oh, yes, you do. And you actually have one. You might not know what it is. A worldview is extremely important. Well, I don't plan on being a missionary, so why should I care about a worldview? A worldview is how you think and how you live out your life. Your worldview will be the thing that guides you in that. Why? Because that is your view of how the world is. That is your view of how things are. So how important is it? Is our worldview? Extremely important. We all have one. We don't talk about it. We don't use those words. But we need to understand that we need a worldview. So what are some of the worldviews? See, when you start thinking how you think and doing what you do and how you treat life and how you see life, that is coming from a worldview that you see. Something of the worldview is influencing you to see whatever you see and interpret that ever how that worldview is talking to you. Is everybody with me? Okay. Humanism is a worldview. Humanism, what is humanism? Humanism is life is all about me. If life is all about you, you are influenced by a humanistic worldview. Man is the center of everything. You are God. That's a humanistic worldview. There is no absolute truth. Truth is what I say it is. That worldview will not lead you to Christ. And you will not lead others to Christ with that kind of worldview. That everything about your life, everything about life is about you. Humanism. We can't be the people that are distracted by the course of the culture that wants everything to be about them, about you. Humanism. No absolute truth. Truth is what I say it is. Truth is what I think it is. Instead of seeing the absolute truth that God gives. Secularism. It prioritizes scientific method. In other words, I'm only going to believe it if it's proven by science. I'm only going to hinge on the rationale and the reasoning of material things. A lot of secularism that is going on in people's worldview. Why? Because you talk to people about God. I don't believe there's a God. Can you prove it? Why? They want science. How do you know there's a God? Somebody tell me. By faith. And we believe it because we, by faith, believe that this is what? This is the Word of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Amen. And then when we have the faith, things are manifested to us and through us that confirm what we're believing. Secularism. Intellectualism. In other words, it's driven by the intellect. Sometimes we're so intelligent that we're dumber than a rock. We have all this intelligence and yet we don't grasp the very thing of God, the creation, life. We're driven by reason. Postmodernism, here's one. Postmodernism. This is what postmodernism believes. Postmodernism is this. If your beliefs offend someone or hurt their feelings, you are wrong. We got a lot of that going on today. That worldview, the humanistic worldview, is still, it is traveling fast all over this globe. That statue offends me. This offends me. Then that must be wrong. If you have a belief system that offends somebody, you are wrong. That's what postmodernism is. Well, guess what? You're never going to be right. Why? Because there's always going to be somebody offended by what you say, what you do. There's always going to be somebody that is offended. In other words, they have become their own Lord and they don't like that. Well, this offends me. Let's get rid of it. Well, the pastor just offended me. Let's get rid of him. That's possible, you know. If your belief offends somebody or hurts their feelings, then you are wrong. Can you imagine? Can you see how that is running rampant? That's a worldview held by many. Jesus would tell the people the truth, and they would just get as mad as they could be. Not everybody. But you know, Jesus would tell, what gets me about Jesus, there's a lot of things that just really impresses me about him, but he'll walk up and he'll start talking to people and he'll start telling them the truth and everything, and all of a sudden he says, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." And he'd just walk off. He'd go to the next people that he's supposed to tell the truth to. What did he just tell them people? "I told you the truth. Some of you may hear it. Some of you may never hear it." If you don't have ears to hear the truth, you're not going to hear the truth. Because your mind is already made up. Have you ever been in an argument with somebody or a conversation with somebody, and while they're explaining to you and while they're trying to get you to come to understanding, you're already thinking about what you're going to say. And you're not even listening. Am I talking to the right people? Be honest with me this morning. Just give me just a little bit of wave and say, "Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I know what you're talking about." Because why? It's more important to you to prove your point than it is to hear theirs. Don't be passing around no petition to get rid of the pastor. Postmodernism, that's postmodernism. New spirituality. This belief is saying people pray to the same God or the Spirit no matter what the God's name is. Meaning and purpose come from becoming one with all of this. Becoming one with creation. See, he tells us, worship the Creator, not the creation. Worship the Creator, not what he... Are y'all with me? New spirituality. Pantheism. It believes that God is in everything, so worship everything. It has a quest for spiritual enlightenment that happens through oneness with the universe. You ever heard of tree huggers? Yes. I'm not being mean. I'm just telling you. They'll hug a tree. I'm just gauging, making sure I'm being controlled by the Spirit of God here. They'll cuss you out and hug a tree. Spiritism. This is where the occult comes from. They say there's a spiritual war beyond where we are. It's a spiritual world beyond where we are. So let's go to this spiritual world of demons and spirits to get where we need to go. Atheism. There is no God. It takes more belief to believe that than it does that there is a God. Just like Marxism, communism. It's founded on the irreligious and it's religiously hostile. Both Marxism and communism is religiously hostile to Christianity. It has a belief that private property encourages greed and envy. If you own something, it encourages greed and envy. So we don't want greed and envy. So what do we need to do? Take what you own. That's Marxism and communism. It's alive and well today. It's a worldview that will take this nation and any other nation down. The government, rather than individuals, should control all the resources as necessary to ensure that everybody gets their fair share. In other words, it's equal distribution. Yeah, well, what's wrong with that? There's plenty wrong with that. See, a non-biblical view, non-biblical ideas just do not sit inside books on a bookshelf or a magazine. It's not just sitting there waiting for you to pick it up and read it. A non-biblical worldview is not sitting somewhere waiting for you to pick it up and read it. Do you hear me? It's just not sitting idly waiting for you to wander by and say, I wonder what that's about, and just pick it up and all of a sudden it's influencing you. No. It's not sitting and waiting. Is that true? That's true. What's it doing? It's bombarding us every single day. All of these world systems, these world beliefs, these world views are bombarding us through TVs. I'm not saying TV's wrong. I remember when TVs first came out. Somebody laughs and says, "How old are you?" Well, let me say it differently. First came out when I was a kid. We didn't have one. We gathered around a radio. Yep. Boom, 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 hitting the side, making sure we get the dust off of it so we can hear it. Preachers in the pulpit were saying, TV's a sin. It's got devil's horns. That's called rabbit ears. It's got devil's horns. Oh, we got rid of these. We got it piped in now. It's okay. I got one. You know, and what happened probably about 6 or 7 months later after the preacher preached that message, he had one. We're constantly bombarded by these worldviews to try to get us off track from being one with Him. From being one with Him. I just looked up and it is 11:30. But we're in an ongoing shift in this land with worldviews. Let me tell you what Galatians 5:10 says. I've got confidence in you that you will have no other view. Then which one? This one. Paul said, I'm confident that you will have no other view. You won't have these views. A biblical worldview is based on the infallible Word of God, the belief that the Bible is entirely true, and it's fundamental to everything that we do and everything that we say. That's a biblical, in other words, before you do, before you say, there's a biblical worldview that should be driving us to say, wait a minute, what does Jesus say about this? What does the Word say about this? This is what I need to say about this. This is what I need to think about this. This is what I need to do. That's a biblical worldview that is impacting your life of how you're living it. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. I'm not taking that out. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. But our thought process must be aligned with this right here. Let me give you a few stats and because I know I need to close. 62, in Barna surveys, 61% agree with the roots of this new spirituality. And this is talking of Christians. 61% of Christians believe in the new spirituality. 61%. 54% resonate with postmodernism. 54% believes that if your belief offends somebody, you must be wrong. 54% of the church. See, it's not a book that's just waiting for us to pick it up. It's being drilled into our thinking. And we have to be wise to this. 36% accept the ideas associated with Marxism. 36% of the church identify with Marxism. Have beliefs that are based on secularism. 29%. 23% believe that right or wrong depends on your own personal beliefs. 23%. Almost 1/4 of the church believe that. 17% of the church consider their faith important. 17% of the church considers their faith being important. 17% hold a biblical worldview. Only 17%, 17 people out of 100. Out of 100 people, only 17 will have a biblical worldview. Why is that? Because they're influenced by these others. Paul says, I'm confident that you know God and that you know the Lord and that He has impacted your life. I am confident that you will have no other view. Amen. And we should have no other view other than a biblical worldview. That's the reason Paul goes on in Colossians and says, therefore you have received Christ, walk in him and be firmly rooted, be built up in him and be established in your faith. Then he goes on and he said, and see to it. Everybody say, see to it.
See to it.
Say it again.
See to it
that no one takes you captive through philosophy, through empty deceptions, according to the traditions of man, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. See to it. In other words, apply yourself, apply your reading, apply what you know to this very thing. See to it that you're not deceived by a philosophy that is driven by man. See, the study of philosophy is good because it studies realities, it studies knowledge, it studies values. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking here about philosophies that are corrupt with the ways of men. Another version says, see to it that nobody takes you captive. No one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of the world. Let no one keep defrauding you from your prize, keep taking you away from your prize with an inflated cause that is from a fleshly mind. Watch this. Look at the world with an inflated cause from a fleshly mind. That's the reason you see all the destruction. That's the reason you see all the riots. That's the reason you see all the stuff that is going on. And they'll yell in the name of justice. He said, but you should hold fast to the head from whom the entire body is supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments that grows with the growth that comes from God. Galatians 5 says this, you are called to freedom. You and I are called to freedom, brethren. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. Oh, there's so much in that I don't have time to go into, but you're caught. You have this freedom. Don't let your freedom be turned into an opportunity for you to operate with the fundamental thing of evil. But here's what you're supposed to do. Love and serve one another. I'm about to close, but it ain't going to be pretty. But it's going to be the truth.
Yes, sir.
A lot of times the truth don't look good, but it is absolutely phenomenal for you. Yes, you're called to freedom, brethren, but do not turn your freedom into the opportunity of flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word in this statement. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Look at verse 15. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed. I want you to take care lest you be consumed, not by the world, lest you be consumed by one another. What does bite mean? When you bite, it means to wound the soul with constant stinging. To wound somebody's mind, will, and emotions with constant stinging. Just a constant irritation, a constant stinging. And it has the purpose to oppose your success. to prevent someone from reaching their goal. Sting people to keep them from succeeding. And he's talking about Christians. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to us-ins. To bite is to wound the soul to prevent them from accomplishing their purpose, to frustrate their future. What about devour? Devour means to gnaw away, to take down, and to wear down. Just a constant gnawing to wear somebody down. Daniel 7 says this, that the devourer, what he wants to do is to wear down the saints in the end time. You know how he's going to do that? He's going to use each other if we fall prey to it. Boy, I tell you, this is a shouting message. I know it is. Devour means to gnaw down, to take down, to wear down. The enemy says that the devourer roams around, right? The lion, he roams around seeking whom? Here's the question. Are you a whom? Seeking whom he may devour. Seeking whom he may take down, take out by a constant gnawing. This thing's just gnawing at me. See, you hear that? This thing's just gnawing at me. Well, I see, you need to understand this. And then he says, lest you consume one another. This word consume means to, you ready? To be taken out of your existing effectiveness. All this is trying to consume you, to get you out of your current state of effectiveness in the kingdom. That's the enemy's plan. Don't help him. Don't help him. Don't partner with him. Love one another. Serve one another. Capture a biblical worldview that no matter what you see, it's interpreted through the Word of God. It gives you the how-to and the what-to and the when and how to do. It'll tell you everything that you need to do. Amen. It'll tell you, it'll give you direction about abortion. Yes. It'll give you direction about same-sex marriage. Yes. A biblical worldview will. And it won't be wrong. It'll be exactly the very thought and heartbeat of God. Well, let me go back. It's the same glory that I've given you, that the Father's given to me, I have given to you, that you may be one as we are one. Amen. I'm in them and they're in me and you're in me. That they may be perfected in this unity, in this oneness, that the world may know that I have been sent to the world as a Savior. Number two, that I love them. And number three, that you love me. Don't tap into the worldviews that keep you from this oneness that alerts the world that Jesus came for them. Amen. Stand to your feet. God bless you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for all your goodness and all your mercy. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the instruction that you've given us through the Holy Spirit. We ask you, Father, that this will go deep inside us and that we will hold no other view other than the biblical world view. In Jesus' name. We pray. Amen. Thank you, online streamers, for joining us. Come on back next week, and we'll see what else we can get into. God bless you. Parents, make sure you go to the videos and the little buttons underneath the videos for the extra work for the kids. And we love you guys, and see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard Podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.